Good evening. I want to talk tonight about something that is very difficult. You don't have to look hard to find a sermon on glorifying God, how to praise God, when everything is going right in your life. You go to any modern Christian church nowadays, they're going to tell you exactly how God has a plan for you and how he's ready to pour blessings into your life and heal all your sicknesses, put your marriage back together, help you get the job you want, the house you want, everything you want in life, and just pave your way to success in life if you just have faith. And I don't know about you, but I don't have any problem having faith in those times. When God is blessing my life, I don't need teaching when everything is going right. I need teaching when these things are going wrong, when the storms of life are raging at my front door, and you know things just keep getting bad instead of better. And you cry out to God in prayer, and the only answer you seem to be getting back is no. So what do you do, or what does it mean, when God says no? Let's talk about how we learn to trust in him, even when he says no. So the Apostle Paul, this is somebody who was told no many times in his life in many ways. And he was one who dealt with many hardships, but he learned how to be content in all things. That's what he wrote in Philippians 4, verse 11. Whatever Paul did, he gave it his all. He had a famous reputation. He was very influential. We all know the story of how he used to be called Saul, how he would persecute and he would murder Christians, any Christian he could get his hands on. Christians everywhere feared him. And he had been groomed to hate Christians until he was on the road to Damascus. And that same Jesus, the one who he had spoke so violently against, the one who he had persecuted, just knocked him off his beast, blinded him, changed his name to Paul, and totally changed his life heading in a different direction. Isn't it wonderful how God changes our lives? I think it's interesting that Paul's first mission, okay, he would go on all these missionary journeys, he would do all these great things, but his first mission was to become a Christian, including being baptized in order to wash away his sins. That's what he was told, to arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's how you become a Christian. And that was Paul's first mission. Now, he would have many more missions that would get a lot more difficult as he went on. Paul would be rejected by where he came from. Okay, the people who knew him when he was called Saul, they didn't want to associate with him anymore. He was a Christian now. But Christians didn't really, they weren't that warmed up to him either because, you know, they had feared him. He had been killing them. And so Paul just didn't fit in anywhere. Now, Saul probably had a lot of pride. You know, he was probably greatly respected by all his circle of friends and people he associated with. Everybody liked him, but not Paul, not anymore. Paul was beaten, he was whipped, he would be shipwrecked, he was imprisoned, and he was ultimately put to death due to his faith. Paul, despite everything he went through, he became probably the most influential apostle. He wrote the largest portion of the New Testament, he had many revelations, and he became very respected. So he did have a lot of good come his way, too. And we're going to read some things here in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. If you have your Bibles, that's a good place to follow along. We're going to be reading, and that's going to be our main text tonight. 2 Corinthians 12, 7, Paul writes, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." So he's saying, in case I get all caught up in the good in my life and the things that are going right, God has balanced me with the things that have went wrong. So God keeps our lives balanced, doesn't he? Now, we can't neglect our blessings. We all have been blessed in so many ways, but at the same time, we all have to deal with life storms. Nobody's without that, too. Paul uses the phrase thorn in the flesh here to talk about the thing that's overwhelming him. And then he says a messenger of Satan is what brought it to him. Notice it's not God. Now, God may allow pain to come into our lives. God allows suffering in these things. But it's Satan who brings that pain into our life. It's Satan who brings the temptation, and God helps us get through it. Think about the book of Job, Satan had to go to God and ask, you know, kind of permission to tempt Job in a certain way. And God, you know, finding Job worthy, he let him do it. And we'll talk a little bit more about that here in a minute. But he also says to buffet me. He uses the word buffet. Now, in Greek, this word means to beat the flesh with continuous or with strong punches. OK, Okay, so this was a continuous burden. This was something that Paul had. It wasn't just a one-time thing. It was something that was always weighing on him every day. It was something that was really hurting him, touching him deep. And we're never told specifically what this is. But why do you suppose God wanted this left out? Now, to answer that question, let me ask you this. How many people in this room have been truly blessed in some area of your life? I mean, all of us have, right? Everybody's been blessed in some area. But how many people have been blessed and had success in your life, and it seems like, you know, you're finally starting to enjoy it, and then you get punched, you get buffeted, you get beaten by something, like a thorn in your flesh. These thorns in the flesh are not always seen. They're not always visible. You know, people could struggle. We can be overwhelmed financially. We can be overwhelmed physically, maybe poor physical health. And families can be stricken with tragedy that can be very overwhelming. All this stuff can be seen, you know, by all of us. But there's some things that kind of get us where we can't be, where it's not always seen. Like, sometimes it's like Satan's punching us when nobody's looking, you know, like a sucker punch kind of. But the point is that we can all get overwhelmed with something in life. I think God leaves it open-ended in that sense on purpose, that he wants us to be able to apply this text to whatever area in life that you need to apply it to. Okay, whatever is overwhelming you, whatever is really challenging you, that's what Paul's writing about here. Now, it's different for everybody, but we all have something that punches us, something that balances us, something that makes us pray. Maybe it keeps you up at night, makes you cry unto God. I'm not happy. I don't need this in my life. I can't take this. God is too much for me. I need you. I need you. God wants us to recognize that dependence that we have on him. And so he allows our lives to be balanced, both the good with the bad. So what was Paul's thorn in the flesh? It's that thing that overwhelms you, that thing that area that you just feel like you're drowning in right now in your life. So why did Paul have to pray three times? Paul was a man of great power, right? We talked about that. He's a man of great courage. He's a very influential man. He would write most of the New Testament. He would establish churches in the cities that he visited. Paul didn't have to pray three times to raise the dead man, you know, that fell out of the window. He would impact these entire cities and do all these great things, yet he couldn't fix his own problem. And this was a sincere, deep prayer that Paul was praying, all right? I mean, this is not just our everyday prayer that me and you pray that, you know, God, let me have a good day at work today. That would be really nice for me if people were kind to me. And at school, you know, if people would say nice things to me, that would be really good for me. No, this is a sincere prayer, guys. This is something that Paul is really, the Apostle Paul is praying very earnestly and very deeply for this. And this is, you know, Paul's not asking for an ungodly thing like riches or fame. He's asking for a good thing. And God still says no. And so we can ask for something good, something entirely unselfish, and God can still say no. God, if you just take this away, I could serve you better. I could be the person that you want me to be. I could be better for you. You know, it seems like you would want me to be better for you, God. It seems like you would want me to have this, to be without this limitation. Maybe you can relate to this. Maybe there's something you really prayed hard for in life, something you really thought ought to be different. Some good that needs to be done. And you asked God, and you prayed, and you prayed, and you prayed. Maybe it was a job that you wanted, the job that you always thought would be perfect for you, and it just doesn't work out. God said no. Maybe it's a marriage. And there's been a lot of people that have struggles with their marriage, right? And you know, you're praying all the time, and you're giving it your all, and you're asking God for what's a good thing, right? This is a good thing if I get my marriage back together, if I do this, this would be really good. And you try everything you can, and it doesn't work out. God said no. Maybe you had a loved one in the hospital that was sick, and you prayed, and you read every scripture you could, you studied the Bible every free minute and that you weren't praying, and you requested prayer at church, you requested prayer at work, everywhere you could. All these prayers, and that loved one dies right in front of you. You know, it's times like this that the devil looks at us and says, "Where is your God now?" See, these are the times that we need faith. This is when I need teaching. This is when I need strengthening. God answers all prayers. He simply just says no sometimes. What do you do when God says no? That's what this text is all about. Paul's struggle with his thorn in the flesh. You know, at first Paul, he He had no idea why God said no. He kept asking. God kept saying no. And then he said, God said, I said no, Paul, because my grace is sufficient. Now, I know, Paul, I know you think that your plan is sufficient. I know you think that you've been reasoning through this. You're the great apostle Paul. You got all this wisdom, all these life experiences we talked about. And you think about this every day, and you've got, you know, this would make me better, and I'd be better for God if I did this. You've got this little plan that you think is sufficient. But my grace is sufficient. See, I considered my grace before I allowed this to come to you. I measured it out. I wouldn't let you struggle on this level. I wouldn't let you be attacked on this level, Paul, Jordan, anybody reading these verses? I wouldn't let you be attacked like this if I hadn't given you enough grace first. I considered the weight of this pain before I let it come into your life. And I know you feel like you can't handle it, and I know you feel like it's overwhelming you, and I know you just want me to take it out of your life. But listen, I'm not going to take it away. I'm not going to stop it. I'm not going to give you what you want because my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. What do you say to that, Paul? What do you do when God says no? Paul says, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities. I will take joy in tribulation, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, wait a minute, Paul. Wait a minute. So how did you go from being overwhelmed over here to being overjoyed? How did you go from being overwhelmed and you prayed about it 3 times and God said no every time? And now you're overjoyed? Now you're glorifying God? How'd you do that? See, Paul had realized something at this point, and this is something that we all need to realize, that in this world, you will have trouble, okay? That's Jesus' own words, John 16, verse 33. In this world, you will have trouble, but the amount of trouble that you encounter, the amount of trials and the difficulty of these tribulations that you go through that come our way, they're merely an indication of the grace that God has given you, the strength that he's going to put into your life to allow you to get through it. See, when God measured it out, he took into account who you were and what you were, and he saw you as being worthy. He saw you as being qualified to handle this. God has said, I trusted you with trouble. Try saying that to yourself when you feel buffeted, when you feel beaten down, you feel like you can't go on, that this thorn in the flesh is too much for you. God trusted you. God trusted me with this. And we also have to understand that his strength is made perfect in weakness. We do have the strength to endure these things. God has made sure that before Satan even brought them into our life. And it's the same as with Job. We talked about that. How, you know, Satan had to come to God. He had to ask these things. And God just says, you know what, Satan? Go right ahead. You know what? I trust Job. He's going to have a hard time, but I trust him. He's going to make it through it. And it's the same thing with us. God trusts you to make it through it. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you're able to withstand. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. It takes strength and effort on our part, but sometimes God measures it out and decides to allow things to come into our life that we just can't get through without his strength. You just shouldn't be able to do it. But you find a way to anyway because of how he helps you get through it. It's in these times that we must realize our weakness and turn to him. We must realize our dependence on God. I want to close with Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 tells us to trust in the Lord. And do not trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. We must learn to trust God, even when he says no. If you have need of responding to the invitation tonight, maybe you have the same need Paul did. Maybe, you know, when he was Saul. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you have that need, and we would tell you the same thing that Paul was told, to arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's how you become a Christian. That's how you get rid of your sins and become a Christian. That's what Paul did. Maybe you have that need, or maybe you have a different need. Maybe you have a thorn in the flesh, something that is hitting, just beating you in private. and you need strength, you need prayers for the church, we would love to pray for you. We'd love to help you. Whatever your need is, won't you come as we stand and sing?
Come to Jesus, He will save you, though your sins as crimson glow. If you give your heart to Jesus, He will make it white as snow. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today. Come to Jesus, do not tarry. Enter in at mercy's gate. Oh, delay not till the morrow, lest thy coming be too late. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today. Come to Jesus, dying sinner, other Savior there is none. He will share with you His glory when your pilgrimage is done. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today. Be dismissed to our classes.